Welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays by the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on supply trends, category updates, brand awareness, and what's hot in the market. Join us each week from San Francisco Bay, California, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Dan, the Produce Man.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays on this lovely, lovely Friday in October. I'm Dan, the Produce Man. Today's Fresh from the Field Fridays is part of and brought to you by the Produce Industry Podcast, heard every Monday here, right here in this same exact location, and is sponsored by Buck Naked Onions, Equifruit, the only banana you should buy. Fresh Cravings, bringing you fresh salsas directly in your produce department. London Fruit Company, importers of delicious, nutritious, tasty mangoes. And Dole Food Company. Well, folks, it is called Fresh from the Field Fridays, and the items in the fields are not doing too well this year. You know, you pretty much can figure that out when you go to the grocery store. Don't expect your salad mixes or lettuces to hold up very long. Use them up. We have a number of conditions that are affecting our vegetables. Well, there's a few hurricanes that we've had, one in Mexico, obviously the big one in Florida, and just erratic weather in the California growing regions, a lot of heat, blight, which is an insect disease. We also have fusarium in the soil, which is another disease. And from what I understand, it's spread by water and insects as well. And then we have another fungus, which is causes a white mold, which is called sclerotinia, however you want to pronounce it. So this is affecting major, major crops here. So what happens is when these crops become short due to this miasma of disease and weather, then prices go up and quality goes down. And we're experiencing this in bell peppers, broccoli, cabbages, carrots, cantaloupes, cauliflower, cilantro, cucumbers, garlic, green onions, green beans, lettuce of all varieties, unless it's grown indoors. So there's a lot of things that are being affected, strawberries and tomatoes as well. So items we get out of, so just keep an eye on this in your grocery stores. All the major growing areas are experiencing something. California, Mexico, Florida, of course, and even the Pacific Northwest. So what does this mean for your produce in the grocery stores? Well, for your vegetables, you're going to see price increases, because when the commodity is short, the price goes up. That's just standard in fresh produce, and it always has been. And we're not quite into the transition time of the year. So let me just quickly explain transition to you. The growing areas in Salinas and Monterey County and surrounding areas transition the growing regions down to Huron, California. That's usually about a month. And then from Huron, different vegetable commodities will go to Coachella, Imperial Valley, Yuma, Arizona, because it's warmer there in the winter and you can continue to grow year-round, and that's what gives us fresh produce year-round. And then in the spring, everything moves back up to this area here to keep continuous supply for us. So what does this mean? It affects your prices in the grocery stores. It affects your prices in restaurants and availability and what folks can do with the vegetables. I mean, this is a lot at once happening. It's not like it hasn't happened before, but it's pretty intense this time. So we're about, I'm 3 to 4 weeks away from that transition time to be completed. And then they're having some weather issues down in the southern growing areas as well. So this is just so you understand what's going on. Now, pile inflation on top of this, and you could see some pretty expensive stuff. Now, this isn't an excuse to go eat fast food all the time. I know a lot of folks' budgets are tight. People are going to do what they got to do to eat a meal, but you got to keep yourself healthy at the same time. On another note, it's apple season, pear season, persimmon season, squash season, and all kinds of good stuff that we get this time of the year is around as well, pomegranates. I wanted to I think last week I told you about the Gold Rush apple, and one of its ancestors is the Winesap apple. Now, you're not going to find this in the grocery stores. Yeah, some small specialty stores, you may find some organic ones, but you'll find these at farmers markets mainly, and then small stores that specialize in other apple varieties. So in the world of new varieties, pretty varieties that are bred for, well, flavor, of course, but to stay white after you cut them. Some of them have more of a rose-colored interior. Some of them even deep red. And the real crunch and the whole bit by crossbreeding this one with that one and this one and that one. And that's how we get our Honeycrisp and our Cosmic Crisp and the apples that people love. Of course, the sugar bee is one that happened naturally just by bees bringing the pollen around and slapping it into other trees. And that created the sugar bee apple, which is good. But there's a lot of new varieties. However, these old standbys are still well worth experiencing if you can. And the Winesap apple is one that I just found an amazing in flavor. It was grown in Virginia during the colonial period here in the United States. It mainly was described as a cider fruit. And it's not a very big apple. It's round and oblong and has a deep maroon skin over a yellow background. But the flavor is just absolutely amazing. And it's pretty much resistant to a lot of diseases, which is good, especially with what I just told you. Now, you're going to see an apple called Stamen. And a lot of times people call the stamen a wine sap. And that's because Joseph Stamen created the stamen apple variety from a wine sap seed. But it's not a true original wine sap. It's good and it's great. And it's sometimes marketed as stamen wine sap or just stamen. Just discovered it as a seedling growing off of one of his wine sap trees. So yeah, it has some wine sap heritage, but it's not the true original wine sap. I do love the old heirloom varieties. Like I said, in the world of all these new commercial varieties, which are great, they're pretty, they're beautiful, they're tasty, they're crunchy, they're crisp. They are a makeup of all kinds of different apples. But a lot of the heirloom varieties that go way back to colonial times, I mean, they're just absolutely delicious. You don't pass them up, and you can find them again at farmers markets and produce stands. Apples are not really native to the United States. According to Tom Burford, in his book called Apples of North America, which I highly recommend, the apple began in Asia Minor in the region of Kazakhstan, where wild apple orchards still exist today. And then from there, it was, you know, through travel and trade and the whole bit, it made its way into Europe and all over the place. And of course, everybody loved it. Who doesn't love an apple, right? And then obviously brought over here by early settlers. And one other heirloom variety that I want to mention this week is a green apple with a tart sweet flavor to it, is called the pippin apple. And you will notice this apple because it's very squatty and has a huge russeting part around the stem area that expands all the way out to the shoulder of the apple. Now, Newtown pippins are, I remember those as a kid in the stores, that they didn't have the russeting like the pippin did. Now, maybe they just sorted them and packed the most beautiful things in the boxes. I'm not quite sure. But there's pippins, Newtown pippin, and don't confuse those with orange Cox pippin. I love pippin apples just for out-of-hand eating because I like that tartness at times. And they're a fantastic pie apple as well. So these are some apples that you can get in the stores right now, or at least at the farmers markets. Some old heirloom varieties and your brand new really cool varieties as well. Now, when you bring apples home from the store, you can leave them on the counter because they're always best at room temperature for a couple of days. But if you're going to buy for a week or so or even longer, then store them in the refrigerator so they stay crisp. Otherwise, they'll start to get mushy and pithy, and you won't get that crunchy apple experience. So, a few days on the counter, then the rest in the cooler. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Welcome to Equifruit, an importer and marketer of fresh bananas. Equifruit is committed to 100% fair trade, which means no crummy wages, super safe working conditions, and nothing but love for the ladies. Driving innovation through impossible-to-ignore merchandising, Equifruit is the only banana you should buy. Everyone, we have an APB out on a buck naked onion. This onion is produced by Owyhee Produce, so we have to be on the lookout. Whether you're a retailer, food service distributor, or a wholesaler, this onion is whole, it's hearted, and it's buck naked, everyone. To all you civilians out there, please, let's catch this buck naked onion.
All right, folks, I want to get into what you have on your front porch right now. You know, a lot of folks go out to the store, to the farmer's market, to the local pumpkin patch, and they buy all kinds of cool gourds and squashes and pumpkins to put on the front porch. And then what do they do with them after Halloween or after Thanksgiving at least? They throw them in the compost bin. A lot of these varieties that you are purchasing can be eaten and very, very good. There's one in particular that I have probably talked about on this program before, maybe last year at this time. There's also a video that I posted up several years ago on my YouTube channel called Dan the Produce Man, and I believe it's on my Rumble channel as well. Actually, our Rumble channel is starting to get a lot of action. And the squash or pumpkin is called Marina di Chioggia. It's an heirloom pumpkin called Sea Pumpkin. The Sea Pumpkin of Chioggia, which is a fishing village off the coast of Italy, south of Venice. Hence the name Marina di Chioggia. It's a very large turban-shaped squash or pumpkin. And it is just absolutely gorgeous. It's full of warts. It's a blue pumpkin or grayish, bluish, jadish color. It has a very deep orange flesh. And the good thing about this one, I think it's the best for pies because it's very dense and it is less moist than a lot of your other pumpkin varieties. So it really gives you something to work with when you make a pie. Now, mistakes a lot of people make when they're making pumpkin pie from scratch is they'll bake the pumpkin in the oven with water in the tray, which is horrible. You're just going to steam it that way. Do not boil it. Do not pressure cook it. Do not cook it with any liquid whatsoever. Just roast it on its own, and you will get a nice amount of pumpkin pulp to work with that'll really work well for pies. Now, this pumpkin is actually celebrated in Italy this time of the year. Bakeries and delicatessens and restaurants and street vendors, they sell it in all different kinds of ways. Roasted and salted, they make raviolis with it, they make and cookies and cakes and gnocchis and risotto and just so many different dishes. It's a very celebrated pumpkin. And this thing will last for about 6 months too. It'll hold up that long. I actually save the seeds every year and plant them in my backyard. I did not plant them this year, though I did pick a couple up from my good buddy Chewy, who owns a store that I used to own. And it's just absolutely delicious. It was introduced to Venice in the 1600s and has just become a staple ever since. So look for Marina di Chioggia. They go anywhere from 7 pounds to almost 20 pounds each. It's a beautiful, beautiful squash pumpkin. And if you get a chance, check out the video that I made on the pumpkin so you can see what it looks like and get a few more tips on that one. Squash season, folks. I love it. I mean, think about it. You know, Mother Nature's so good to us. These vitamin A produce items come into play every year when it gets dark out earlier because we all know that the vitamin A beta carotene is good for our eyes. Speaking of that, this time of the year, there's a lot of persimmons in the store. They're just starting. I never really eat the early persimmons. And I know persimmon fanatics, I get it. You gotta have it. But to me, when they are dull orange and green still, they just have a starchy flavor to them. The sweetness is there, but they're very starchy. I like to wait till there's been a few cold nights and the fruit has been on the tree a little bit longer, and you get that bright, bright orange color, then you get a nice sweetness to them, a full flavor with no starchiness or tannins to them. Fuyu persimmons are in the stores right now, so are Hachias, and they will get better in a few weeks or so, but you can't, I mean, you can enjoy them now, but I personally like to wait. Okay, and another Italian favorite. And no, I'm not Italian, but these just happen to be Italian favorites. Not the persimmons, but the squash, and another favorite of mine, which is the Abbé Fatel pear, or also known as the Abate Fatel pear. It has the pyramus shape or form to it, similar to a bosque, but a little more pointy. And the flavor is absolutely delicious. Oh boy, the Abate Fatel was found in France in 1866 by Abbé Fatel. And then, of course, it became the main market pear of Italy. And it's seen quite a bit in the UK. And right here in the United States, it's a pyriform-shaped pear with a very buttery, very juicy, pale cream flesh, sweet and very rich, and a slight hint of vanilla or amaretto. I was turned on to this pear by my old co-host on the Produce Pear Radio Show, Guido the Gardener. He just loved them. And I can't remember who was growing them. It's been quite a few years, but I picked some up at a local market last week, and I'm going back for more. And you know what's good about this pear is you can eat the whole thing. I mean, I wouldn't eat the stem because it can be a little chewy, but you know, you pull the stem off, you can eat the entire pear, including the seed cavity. It's soft and buttery and good. So, Abate Fatel pears in the stores, and Winesap and Pippin apples. Oh my goodness, a few more weeks for the persimmons to get a lot better. They're good now, but they'll be great in a few weeks. And you've got yourself some good fall favorites, that's for sure. All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for this week's Fresh from the Field Fridays. Be sure to tune in to the Produce Industry Podcast every Monday with Patrick Kelly, as well as the Produce Industry Show on YouTube. And download the Produce Industry app. It's a great resource. You got to have that. Put it on your tablet. Put it on your phone. Also, check out my YouTube and Rumble channels called Dan the Produce Man. And all my social media can be found at dantheproduceman.com. Until next time, this is Dan the Produce Man reminding you that it's always best when you get it fresh.
You've been listening to Fresh from the Field Fridays with Dan the Produce Man. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Anchor to get fresh weekly episodes. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Produce Industry Podcast and at Dan the Produce Man. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.